Hello and welcome. I'm so glad you've pressed play because today we're diving into one of the most mark-rich topics in your OCR GCSE mathematics course, data handling. Whether you're sitting foundation or higher tier, this topic appears in almost every paper. And the good news is that with the right approach, it is absolutely one of the most reliable places to pick up marks. In this episode, we're going to cover everything from averages and pie charts right through to histograms with unequal class widths, cumulative frequency diagrams, and box plots. I'll be giving you the exact language examiners want to see, flagging the most common mistakes that cost students marks every single year, and finishing with a quick-fire quiz so you can test yourself before your next lesson or exam. So grab a pen, maybe a piece of paper, and let's get started. Let's begin with averages and measures of spread, because these underpin almost everything else in data handling. You need to know three averages: the mean, the median, and the mode. The mean is the sum of all values divided by the number of values. The median is the middle value when data is ordered. The mode is the most frequently occurring value. For the range, you simply subtract the smallest value from the largest. Now, here's where many foundation candidates drop marks. When data is given in a frequency table, you must calculate the estimated mean using the formula: sum of f times x divided by sum of f. That's sigma fx over sigma f. The x values you use are the midpoints of each class interval, not the boundaries. I cannot stress this enough. If you use the lower or upper boundary instead of the midpoint, you will lose the method mark. OCR's mark scheme awards M1 for a correct attempt at sigma fx, so show that working clearly. Moving on to scatter graphs and correlation. A scatter graph shows the relationship between two variables. When you describe correlation, you must use two pieces of information: the direction, positive or negative, and the strength, strong, moderate, or weak. Never simply write, "there is a correlation." Examiners want you to say, for example, "there is a strong positive correlation," which means that as the number of hours revised increases, the test score also increases. Notice how I've interpreted that in the context of the specific variables. That contextual interpretation is what earns the final mark in a describe question. One critical warning: correlation does not imply causation. Just because two variables are correlated does not mean one causes the other. Examiners love to test this. Now let's talk about pie charts and bar charts. For a pie chart, the key formula is angle equals frequency divided by total frequency multiplied by 360 degrees. For a bar chart, the height of each bar represents frequency. These are foundation-focused skills, but they appear regularly, and candidates still lose marks by not labeling axes or by using an incorrect scale. Now for the higher tier content, and this is where the real mark opportunities lie. Histograms with unequal class widths. This is perhaps the most commonly misunderstood topic in the entire GCSE specification. Here is the golden rule, and I want you to say it out loud after me. Frequency density equals frequency divided by class width. The y-axis of a histogram is always frequency density, never frequency when class widths are unequal. The area of each bar represents the frequency, not the height. My advice: the moment you see a histogram question, immediately add a frequency density column to your table. Calculate it before you do anything else. This one habit will save you from the most common error in this topic. To find a frequency from a histogram, you reverse the formula. Frequency equals frequency density multiplied by class width. So if a bar has a frequency density of 3.5 and a class width of 10, the frequency is 35. Next, cumulative frequency diagrams. A cumulative frequency diagram is a running total of frequencies plotted against the upper bound of each class interval. I'll say that again, the upper bound, not the midpoint. This is the single most common error in this topic. Candidates plot their cumulative frequency values at the midpoint of the class and lose the plotting mark every time. Once you have your cumulative frequency curve, you can read off the median and quartiles. For a data set of n values, the median is at n over 2, the lower quartile is at n over 4, and the upper quartile is at 3n over 4. The inner quartile range, or IQR, is Q3 minus Q1. Finally, box plots. A box plot displays five key values: the minimum, the lower quartile Q1, the median, the upper quartile Q3, and the maximum. The box itself spans from Q1 to Q3, and the whiskers extend to the minimum and maximum values. When comparing two box plots, and this is a classic 2 or 3 mark question, you must compare both a measure of average and a measure of spread. Use the phrase on average when comparing medians and use more consistent or less spread out when comparing IQRs. Always refer to the context. For example, on average, Group A scored higher than Group B as the median for Group A is 72 compared to 65 for Group B. Group A's results are also more consistent as the IQR of 15 is smaller than Group B's IQR of 22. That structure, average then spread, then context, will earn you full marks on a comparison question every time. Now, let me run through the most important exam tips and the mistakes I see most often. Mistake number one, plotting cumulative frequency at the midpoint instead of the upper bound. Always plot at the upper boundary of the class interval. If your class is 20 to 30, your cumulative frequency point goes at 30, not 25. Mistake number two, calculating the mean of the frequencies rather than the weighted mean. In grouped data, you must multiply each midpoint by its frequency, sum those products, and then divide by the total frequency. Do not just average the frequencies themselves. Mistake number three, writing no correlation when the scatter graph actually shows a weak correlation. Look carefully. If there's any pattern, even a loose one, describe it as weak positive or weak negative. Reserve no correlation only for completely random scatter. Mistake number four, confusing frequency density with frequency on a histogram. Remember, height does not equal frequency. Area equals frequency. Mistake number five, not giving context when interpreting graphs. Every time you describe or compare data, bring the real-world variables back into your answer. Examiners give credit specifically for contextual interpretation. For timing, OCR allocates approximately 1 minute per mark. A four-mark histogram question should take around 4 to 5 minutes. A three-mark comparison question should take 3 minutes. Do not rush these. They reward careful, methodical working. Right, cover your notes and let's test yourself. I'll ask the question, give you a few seconds to think, and then I'll give the answer. Question one, what formula gives you frequency density? Frequency density equals frequency divided by class width. Question two, when plotting a cumulative frequency diagram, do you plot at the midpoint or the upper bound of each class? The upper bound. Question three, what two things must you compare when comparing two box plots? A measure of average, the median, and a measure of spread, the IQR. Question four, what does the area of a bar represent in a histogram? The frequency. Question five, what is the formula for the estimated mean from grouped data? Sigma FX divided by sigma F, the sum of frequency times midpoint divided by the total frequency. How did you do? If you hesitated on any of those, go back and review that section. Let's bring it all together. Data handling is a topic that rewards careful technique and precise language. Remember these five key principles. One, in histograms, frequency density equals frequency divided by class width. The y-axis is always frequency density for unequal class widths. Two, in cumulative frequency diagrams, always plot at the upper bound of the class interval. Three, when comparing distributions, always reference both the median and the IQR, and always interpret in context. Four, for the estimated mean from group data, use sigma FX over sigma F, using midpoints as your X values. Five, correlation describes a relationship. Always state the direction, the strength, and the context. And remember, correlation does not mean causation. You've got this. Data handling is learnable, it's logical, and with practice, it becomes one of the most reliable sources of marks in your entire paper. Keep revisiting these concepts, practice past paper questions, and use the mark schemes to check your language. Good luck with your revision. I'll see you in the next episode.